It's a special bonus edition of the Lachlan Giants podcast. We're answering your leftover questions from this past week that we didn't get to exclusively on today's program. Coming up next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and welcome to a special weekend edition of the Locked On Giants podcast. As I've been promising, we had so many questions come in for Twitter Thursday. I wasn't able to fit them all in on Thursday's show. I promised you I would do them on a bonus show, and here we are. Here is today's bonus show. So I do have about, I want to say a little over a dozen questions that I'm going to go through. And just real quick, thank you, as always, for making us your first listen or your first watch of the day. Now, regarding the questions, unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to make up all the little graphics and stuff that normally accompany the Q&A. So I have all the questions here on my phone, and I'm going to read off of my phone. So hopefully you'll get the gist of the questions and it'll be all the same. So I apologize. I don't have the graphics made up, but I did want to get this out and get it out and get it done as quickly as possible so you guys and gals can enjoy it. So, all right, up first, Sean K has a couple questions related to Brian Flores. Is there a world in which Flores is hired as head coach, Patrick Graham is retained, and they rehire Joe Judge as special teams coach? Nope. Don't see it happening. Number one, I think Joe Judge, first of all, once you've been a head coach, you want to try and get back on the saddle. And if you're Joe Judge, he had a 5-year contract. So he's got 3 years now where I think he's going to earn $5 million a year for basically doing nothing. He could sit back and, you know, hone his craft if he wants, or he can, you know, be a consultant, or, you know, he could do any number of things. I don't see him coming back to the Giants organization as being one of them, though. I would be really surprised if that happened. So no, don't see that happening. excuse me. Another Flores questions. There were reports about Flores having communication issues in the organization down in Miami, power struggles and so forth. Does that raise any red flags for you, or does the Dolphins front office strike you as hard to work with? Sean, I don't cover the Dolphins, so I can't really answer that question. But what I will tell you is my very first job, I had this supervisor who I absolutely adored. She was just so fair and just so encouraging and just really a big part in helping to shape my professional life. And she always used to say that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. All right. So I wasn't there down in Miami. I don't know the people who were involved. I don't know what the issues were. I can't comment on that, and it would be unfair to ask me to, because, you know, I would just be speculating. So I appreciate the question, but I can't give you an answer there unless I was down there. And even if I were down there, unless I was inside the building every day, it probably wouldn't be fair for me to talk about that without having some kind of concrete proof of these allegations being true. So hope you understand, Sean. But thank you, though, for the other question. I appreciate both of your questions, and I appreciate you listening and tuning into the podcast. All right, up next we have Pete M. And Pete M. asks, do you think the Giants should target a coach with previous NFL head coaching experience? No, not necessarily, Pete. I'm going to say no. You know, all coaches have to start someplace. So I just think you need to target the right gut person that has the qualities that go into a successful head coach. You know, experience is great if you can find it. But, you know, Andy Reid at one point was the new head coach. Mike Tomlin at one point was the new head coach. Bill Belichick, and the list goes on and on. But are they able to lead? Are they able to be innovative? Are they able to adapt? Are they able to handle the pressure that comes with the job? Are they able to be creative? Are they willing to listen to others? These are just some of the many, many qualities that I think a head coach has to have. So whether that person has prior experience or is has never been a head coach at any level, but maybe was a coordinator or held a different type of role, as long as they have those qualifications, those qualities, I think you can get by with not having somebody who's experienced. So we'll see what the Giants end up doing, what the new GM, whoever he or she might be, decides to do. All right, the next question comes from Alan B., who, the list of GM candidates is interesting, but missing from that list is Scott Pioli. Although I think a couple of those candidates are from the Pioli tree. I'd love to see Scott Pioli involved, and I bet he can convince Coach Brian Flores to come on board as well. What are your thoughts? I'm not sure I think I want Brian Flores here. Not anything personal, but I would like to see a good offensive-minded coach come in here, given the problems on offense. Because I think offensive coordinators are going to be at a premium. You've got, 8 openings right now around the league? If I'm not mistaken, I think there's 8 head coaching jobs that are open. So why not grab somebody who is a solid offensive mind and make them your head coach? And that's how I would go, to be honest with you. Regarding Scott Pioli, you're right. A couple guys in Kansas City, I think, were from that tree. Scott Pioli, I don't believe, has worked in the NFL for the last few years. And I'm not saying he's not qualified. Please don't misunderstand me. But I would think you would probably want somebody who has been doing it, you know, because it's every year the game evolves a little bit, you know, here, a little bit there. And a perfect example is, you know, you look at defensive players, especially defensive backs. And now you've got safeties who are able to play slot cornerback, who are able to, you know, play the star linebacker role. I mean, positions are starting to blend together. So I just think it's kind of important to stay up on that. I don't know how well Scott Pioli has stayed up on all that stuff. I do think he would be a good candidate, you know, if he were, you know, not so far removed. But the other thing I think you have to take into consideration here, and this might mean nothing, I don't know, it might mean something, but it looks like the Giants are going for a younger GM, somebody who can maybe sit in the role for more than just 4 or 5 years. So yeah, Pioli, I can't say I'm shocked that he didn't get an interview. If you look at the candidate list that the Giants put together, they have all come from programs that have been fairly successful. And Pioli, you know, like I said, he hasn't been with a program in, you know, at least a few years. So maybe that's the factor there. I don't know. Just spitballing there, I would say. So, I'm fine with the list as is, to be honest with you. So, all right, Giant fans, we have more coming up. First, the G-Men might not be in the postseason, but if you're looking for a competitive edge in this weekend's playoffs, check out OnlineGambling.com, a website dedicated to giving bettors the edge. Throughout the playoffs, they're providing you with the best NFL tips, news, and more to help you make your bets as informed as ever. Visit OnlineGambling.com and check out what they have to offer, all their information, and make your selections wisely. That's OnlineGambling.com. All right, continuing our special Twitter mailbag. Actually, this is all email questions. It's not Twitter. But still, it's a listener mailbag. So just continuing down the list here. Christopher M. asks about qualities, wish list for the new coach. What should he or she bring? I kind of touched on that a little bit in the last segment, Christopher. I want somebody who's innovative, who's willing to adapt, someone who's not afraid to take accountability, who doesn't crumble under the heat and the pressure of the New York market. You know, just a lot of intangibles. And of course, a solid football mind would certainly help. So those would just be a few of the qualities if I were writing a job description. All right. Next question comes from Paul Z about Daniel Jones and his recent neck injuries. Paul writes, I don't think any team should take the chance of Jones getting another hit on his head or neck that could result in a body crippling injury. Is the Giant organization aware of this and factoring it in their thinking about keeping him? Paul, yes, I'm pretty sure the Giants are aware of Daniel Jones's injury and his, you know, lack of being able to slide feet first and his somewhat reckless play. I'm pretty sure they're aware of that. Like you, I was concerned about Daniel Jones taking a hit to the head or the neck that would knock him out. Like you, I am hoping that he is fine and he is able to resume his career. I am also hoping that this this offseason, rather, the kid gets with a baseball coach and learns how to slide feet first. Eli Manning did it a few years ago when he was, you know, getting up there in age. He learned how to slide feet first, work with a baseball coach. Daniel needs to do the same. Because, look, you don't want to limit his running. You don't want to do it all the time, but you don't want to limit it because it can be used as an asset in certain situations. But Daniel cannot be diving headfirst when trying to make plays. I mean, that's just stupid. Let's call it for what it is, you know, and this whole thing about Daniel wanting to show how tough he is. Daniel, win some games. It won't matter if you're the biggest wuss in the world. Just win some games, okay? Don't worry about showing that you're tough and, you know, like the rest of your teammates. I think people will respect you either way. So, all right, thanks for that question. All right, we've got two coming up now from Ashley P., who wants to know, what was the purpose of having Brian Lewerke on the practice squad if he wasn't utilized or deployed in the games? Simply put, Ashley, he wasn't ready. You know, whether that is on the player or on the coaching staff, obviously they did not feel he was making fast enough progress to where they could have gotten away with, you know, not signing Jake Fromm off the Bills practice squad. And then Ashley also asked, do you think Adoree Jackson played well this year? And do you think his signing was worth it? I will say this, Ashley. I don't think very many free agent signings are worth it. Because that's just you simply taking a flyer on something that didn't work out. Which, in this case, that something was DeAndre Baker. Do I think Adoree Jackson played well? I think he started off slow, but he got better. Then, of course, the injuries hit. I do not think the Giants necessarily got what they paid for. I do not think that they will get what they paid for. Because, again, when you have to sign free agents at positions where you don't have depth because your draft did not work out, that, to me, is a problem. All right? So hopefully this new GM coming in, whoever he or she might be, can fix that because free agency is not the way to go. All right, up next we have some questions from Mark T, who basically has, most of these questions are about Saquon Barkley. In a nutshell, why do we want Saquon Barkley to make all these dirty runs? It isn't his strength. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard have different skills and are used as such. Because that's the running back's job. I mean, seriously, Mark, if you start pigeonholing guys into certain types of runs or certain types of plays, now you just made it easy for your defense or your opposing defense to figure out and adjust accordingly. So I'm sorry, I disagree. Barkley has to take the dirty yardage along with the home run yardage. You know, he has to work on that. The run blocking was not very good. It was not very consistent. We can all agree on that, I think. But Barkley at times, too interested, I thought, in trying to find the escape hatch, and that bothered me. Instead of taking what was there, he looked for something more. And there's just times when you just got to say, you know what? I'm just taking what's there and I'm going for it. So that's my response to that particular question. Let's see. Barkley, you felt that people are being too hard on Barkley because he was coming back from an ACL and his ankle, and people were being too hard on him. You know, look, when the team loses, I think everybody tends to be hard on everybody. It's just how things are. I don't think you need to take it personally. I don't think Saquon took it personally. You know, I've spoken to Saquon before. I remember his rookie season, I think it was. Was it his rookie season or his second season? It was his second season, I'm sorry, 2019. And they had lost a game. And I remember going in the locker room, and I remember this really well because Chris Biziano, Giant Insider, was with me at the time. And we happened to be the two people over by Saquon's locker. And Barkley was absolutely beating himself up for not having done more to help the team win. And I forget what led to the loss or whatnot, but I remember Chris and I were standing there. We were trying to console Saquon because he was hurting that the team had lost and he felt they hadn't done enough. So, you know, that's the type of guy Barkley is. I don't know that people are necessarily being too hard on him. Those that are just probably frustrated. I mean, look, that's what losing does to people, makes you frustrated. So I would take that with a grain of salt, to be honest with you. And then you ask, with Jones out injured, could we really expect to win with Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm? Probably not, but we could have at least expected to see some competitiveness than what we saw. All right, Glennon was just a disaster, which was alarming considering the guy's been around the league a number of years. Fromm wasn't ready. It was pretty obvious if you watched him play, he wasn't ready to go. So the whole offense just didn't look competitive. And that, to me, bothered me more than the fact that, you know, they lost games. Because I think I could tolerate losing if they are competitive. But if they are not and they resemble, you know, the Keystone Cops, then I'm sorry. I can't tolerate that. Nobody should have to tolerate that. So, I think that's why people reacted the way they did. And I don't blame them, Mark. I mean, look, people are paying hard-earned money to watch that, to watch a good product. And when it's not competitive, shoot, man. I mean, if I were paying money to watch, I'd be furious. I'd want my money back. Okay, folks, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, Bet Online would like to wish you a happy betting new year as the NFL postseason begins, the NBA and NHL continue to heat up, and the sports world continues to bring so many memorable moments. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It is a new year, and BetOnline.ag has a new updated mobile and desktop website where you can sign up today for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Visit betonline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, folks, we have a Twitter, we call it a Twitter mailbag, but it's actually email. These are all email questions that were left over from Twitter Thursday. So let me get back to answering the rest of these. And we've got our usual group from Renato P., who, by the way, I caught you yesterday on the live show with the entertainer. Got a question in from you as well. So thank you, Renato, for being a consistent and loyal listener to the program. We appreciate that. All right, so let me go down your questions here. I won't say the word tanking. You just said it, Renato. But do you feel when Daniel Jones started losing games due to the neck injury, the team started worrying more about next year's draft than what they had to as a team worrying about winning games? No, I don't think they were trying to tank. So, matter of fact, I know they weren't trying to tank. So put that one out of your mind. All right, question number two. The whole season was bad, with the past 6 weeks being the worst. But in what moment have you felt, uh-oh, we won't go to the playoffs, or things would derail as they did? Basically, when I saw them starting to not look competitive, that's when I began to have my doubts. And I think for me, the last time I picked the Giants to win a game was the Miami game. And after watching how they performed in that, I swore I would not pick them the rest of the year. This I'm referring to my picks on Giants Country. And I did not pick them the rest of the year because I just felt like the air had gone out of the tires and they just weren't as competitive. Okay. And then this last one, Renato, looks like it was something related to Joe Judge. So I'm going to have to, that Joe Judge, obviously not here. So that question kind of resolved. But thanks, Renato, as always, for your fantastic questions. We have a few more. Alan B. wants to know, what do I think about bringing back Pat Shurmur as an offensive coordinator since Daniel Jones functions so well with him? No, not. I don't see it happening. I'd be shocked if he came back here. So, look, there are other offensive coordinators out there. I firmly believe this. There are other guys out there that I think can put together a system that plays into Daniel Jones' strength. I mean, move forward. Don't keep looking back. There's what's the point? I mean, I don't get it. So, no, I don't see Shurmur coming back. All right, next question comes from Ryan C., who has some proposals about saving salary cap money, cutting James Bradbury, Kyle Rudolph, Riley Dixon, Sterling Shepard, Blake Martinez, and Nick Gates to save $35.3 million. I'll tell you what, Ryan, I keep saying this, and I do mean it. I will sit down and do something on the salary cap. But you're talking about a couple guys in there, Shepard, Martinez, and Gates, for what it's worth, who have injuries. So I think the rules are a little different with those guys. I don't think you can cut them straight out for the savings. I have to look at the rules. I've got to find the verbiage in the CBA to see what it says. So I don't think it's a straight $35.3 million savings. So, you know, you also ask about giving Bradbury an extension to lower his number. I would stop with the kicking the can down the road, to be honest with you. And could Martinez and Gates rework their deals because of their injuries? I suppose, but you know what? Best for me to just sit down and play around with this. I mean, I right now I'd be spitballing. Those would be names, obviously, I would look at. But right now, I think I'd be spitballing if I were to say, yes, they should definitely do that, or no, they shouldn't do that, or whatnot. So give me an opportunity. I will get to the salary cap thing. I got to get through player evals first over on Giants Country, as well as keep up with the GM and the head coach searches. So it's coming, as well as, you know, got to launch the draft content, which I've been sitting on now for a couple weeks. So a lot of stuff that I have to get through. I'm one person. But yeah, I do agree that they need to clear some space out, but I'm not so sure if all those guys are the ways to go. So we'll circle back to that, I promise. Let's see. And I think we have one more here from Andrew. Let's see. This is Andrew G. For the next offensive coordinator, who would you like to see? Jim Caldwell comes to mind if he doesn't get a head coaching job. I'm going to say Pep Hamilton. I'm going to go with what Mark Schofield recommended. You know, Schofield, I had him on the show a few weeks ago, and I asked him that same question, and he recommended Pep Hamilton. So, Schofield knows his stuff. So I'll go with that, I think, with Hamilton. Otherwise, I just got to see, you know, because the other thing is maybe there's a college coordinator that might be an up-and-coming star. Maybe guys have, a history with other guys. So a little premature on that question. You might even get a head coach who wants to service his own offensive coordinator. So I think you're kind of getting a little ahead of yourself there, Andrew. But that's certainly a question we can revisit once the Giants hire a head coach and we see what direction they're going to go in. So, all right, folks. That will do it for this edition of the Locked on Giants podcast, this bonus edition of the Locked on Giants podcast. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day or your first watch of the day. And we will see you next week with all new shows.